Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, it is mock draft season, and there are many that are flowing out right now in advance of the NFL draft that takes place late next month. We've talked about some earlier this week that have Titans taking interior offensive linemen. Titans were at Desmond Ritter's pro day yesterday. Mike Vrabel checking it out up in Cincinnati. Pat O'Hara was at Kenny Pickett's pro day earlier this week as well. So quarterback maybe on some people's radar for the Titans. I, however, am still on the wide receiver train, and I think that that could be the direction the Titans ultimately end up going. And a mock draft has come out yesterday from your friends at The Athletic. I believe it was Nick Bumgarner that came out with this yesterday and has the Tennessee Titans at number 26 selecting Jameson Williams, wide receiver out of Alabama. Now, we've talked a lot about Jameson Williams. Obviously, he's coming off a torn ACL. He was exceptional for Alabama last year. Speed guy, over 1,500 yards receiving. It felt like every time he caught the ball, he scored a touchdown last year for Alabama. And he was really, really good. And if he's healthy, I think could be a very good player at the NFL level as well. If the Titans do go wide receiver at 26, and of the realistic options that could be available there. So maybe it's Chris Olave. Maybe it is Jameson Williams. Maybe it's Jahan Dotson. Maybe it's Treylon Burks. There's a lot of different ways it could go there. If you had your pick, who would you like to see the Titans select at 26 when their first-round pick comes, if it is wide receiver that is the direction they go?
Well, see, I can't give away my mock draft pick because it hasn't posted yet. Well, but, you know, one guy who actually Mark Howard texted me, and he said, you know, I really like this Christian Watson. I will say, if you look at Christian Watson from North Dakota State, talking about a 4.36 guy who's big and strong, who, by the way, is known as a tremendous blocker.
Oh, boy. Well, we may have just figured it out.
And, you know, he's former teammates with Dylan Radins. So you got some in-house intel, if you need it, you know, from Dylan. But, like, to me, the skill guys at that level of college football, it's a little bit easier evaluation than guys in the trenches who don't week after week go. You know, I understand that he doesn't go against like SEC cornerbacks either, but I still think, you know, you feel a little safer with skill guys at that spot, and plenty of them have made it big in the NFL. So there's one guy that we haven't talked about as much, you know, as much as Jameson Williams and some of these other guys. I mean, I think Dotson is interesting, also very fast. One of those guys is going to be there. I have to think so. I can't believe there's going to be such a run on receivers that none of those guys are going to be around. I could see like an Olave, the Ohio State guys being gone, and maybe even Jameson Williams being gone. I mean, it could be. But somebody good will be there if that's what the Titans want to do. And I just feel like Christian Watson, I mean, I do feel like he could be a perfect fit.
By the way, we talked the other day about in Kuiper's draft, like the first quarterback I think was Kenny Pickett going at number 18 overall the Saints. That is not in this draft. There's a quarterback taken at number 6 in this one. That sounds a little bit more
by the Panthers.
By the Panthers.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Which quarterback?
I think you may know who it is. It's Malik Willis.
Yeah.
It seems like surging up draft boards.
There's momentum for him as the and you know, highest upside guy. I mean, I think that's what seems to be the big upside, small hands with Pickett, and I don't know, man. Desmond Ritter. He's sitting right there for the Titans.
Could be. I mean, look, I really like Chris Olave. I think he's really, really good. Yeah. I don't really think he's going to be there at 26 when the Titans pick. He could be. But if he got to 26 and made it to the Titans, I'd be surprised if Olave was still there. And if they took him, great. It'd be awesome. But I don't think he'll be there. The guy that I kind of keep coming back to, and I had him in my PFF mock draft that I did the other day is Treylon Burks. I like Treylon Burks a lot. I think he's a really good player.
Oh, I do too. I mean, there's a lot of Arkansas love on this show today. But
yeah, Alan in Asheville on the text line says, let's keep the hog talk going this morning. Treylon Burks to the Titans. Woo pig.
Yeah. Woo pig.
He's a good player. He's going to be a good player for somebody. And it's just, you know, it's hard to even – like, I mean, Pickens to me is another guy who most people think is like a second-round pick, and that's probably where it ends up. But you might end up really getting a steal there with him. You know, he was banged up, barely was able to play last year. He is very talented. But I think Treylon Burks, you know, I think he's, again, physical, and I think he would fit into what they like to do here.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, I don't know that the Titans are going wide receiver when it comes to their first pick. It's funny because they're talking about this on ESPN right now of the receivers in this draft. I mean, it's loaded at receiver. You've got Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. I mean, Garrett Wilson's not going to be there when the Titans are picking. But there's all sorts of receivers in this draft. I mean, Sky Moore, maybe a guy you could find in the second round from Western Michigan. You mentioned George Pickens. Like, this is a draft where, you know, you could go a little bit deeper if your team's out there in the NFL. Now, second round for the Titans obviously is a problem because they don't have a second round pick. So maybe that forces your hand. Like, if you love a wide receiver, are you more willing to take one in the first round because you know that at the moment, you don't have a second-round pick? Could be. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that. Maybe trade back. We already have two votes on our text line to trade back if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Again.
Got to have a partner. But yeah.
I think it's – if you have an opportunity and you feel like you could get your guy there, or there's no one right there that you absolutely love, but you'd love to have another pick and get two guys that you like a lot, then I think that'd be a great strategy to get out of there. But, yeah, if you go like Dotson, Moore, you know, now Moore is – like if you like Sky Moore, like that would be a pick that would be a slot guy pick. He's 5'9".
Yeah, you're not putting him on the outside.
You know, he's a 4.41 40 guy, which is good. But the 10-yard split of 1.46, so super, you know, super quick. I mean, Dotson is there's a lot of possibilities, and you can, again, there's other guys too. It's a deep receiver draft too. So if you don't think there's a huge difference between some of those guys and some of the like third round, you know, receivers, and you think that way. But also, I mean, mock drafts are what they are. It's everybody guessing. But it really is possible that there's a run on offensive linemen and even interior offensive linemen before the Titans pick. That's possible. You know, everybody talks about Zion Johnson from BC. You know, Kenyon Green from A&M. I mean, there's some really highly regarded interior linemen, and that may be exactly what the Titans need if they're not drafting an offensive tackle for the third straight year, high in a draft, which is very possible, too.
Could be. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, trade our first-round pick for DK Metcalf with the Seahawks. I still don't know that I'm convinced that the Seahawks are going to trade DK Metcalf. Like, you have to keep some of your good players, right? Which, by the way, looks like Bobby Wagner may sign with the Rams, which is just okay.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I don't know what the Seahawks are doing, but as of now, they haven't said it's a complete blow everything up fire sale. And if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm like, I'd like to keep some good football players who are not making like a ton of money yet. That'd be pretty cool. So I understand the sentiment of trade Russ and now, oh, go get Lockett and go get Metcalf. But I don't think that they're going to look to trade those guys.
A guy that I'm interested to see that I think could get traded, and the Titans are not going to be players for him, I don't think, because he's got a $9 million cap hit. But now that Tyreek Hill has gone to the Dolphins, like, what happens with Devontae Parker? You've got Waddle. You've got Hill there now. I mean, I guess you could keep him. But Devontae Parker, maybe he ends up in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, he's a good player. Be a nice trio.
Yeah.
That's a good call, though. Yeah, that will be interesting.
He's 29. He'll be 30 this season. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens on that. that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. ESPN 1025 The Game and ESPN 94.9 are Nashville's official homes of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday to ESPN 94.9 at 1:30 for the Echo Park Automotive Texas Grand Prix at the Circuit of the Americas. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. You can begin your exciting career in broadcasting today. Find career opportunities by visiting the Tennessee Broadcasters Virtual Job Fair at broadcastersvirtualjobfair.com. You can apply online now. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking draft and needs for the Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got Paul texting in that says, the Titans will pick an unknown right tackle from North Dakota State or a safety with a broken collarbone who's unable to attend because he's undergoing hernia surgery. It's coming from Paul on the text line.
Wow. The so, old collarbone hernia combo.
That's a heck of a combo. That would suck.
Man, I've had hernia surgery. Story time.
It does not sound fun.
It's not fun. But if I had a collarbone at the same time, that would have sucked.
Oh, man. Paul not very confident in the first round pick that the Titans may put on the table here. It's the way I read that.
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down there, Paul.
Hopefully that guy's not picking up and or putting down anything with a broken collarbone and hernia surgery.
And just sort of wrap them in like a big body cast.
Listen, guys, I bruised my like sternum, which is right near your collarbone.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even break it. I couldn't even sit up out of bed.
Oh, yeah.
It is like the weird. I'm like, oh, God, I'm dying.
It's kind of amazing that all the times that Steve McNair like played quarterback through that stuff.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
No kidding, right? Do you have any ailments you'd like to tell us about, Robbie? We've shared here our health issues.
I have type 1 diabetes. Well, there you go.
Let's laugh about that. Huh?
Oh, yeah. All righty.
No, let's make some diabetes.
You want to make
diabetes?
You want to watch me like really mess things up for myself here live on air? I've never broken a bone in my life. So I just bought myself.
Neither have I.
Thanks.
Neither have I.
Oh, boy. Really?
We're all about to break our ankles totally this weekend. Yeah.
It's not good.
I guess unless you count fingers. Broken fingers.
I've probably done that, yeah.
But that doesn't count, right?
No.
I mean, I have a kid who's broken like 17 bones too.
To be honest, I used to always want to have a cast. I used to always want to break my wrist so everybody could sign my
it.
Cast,
right?
Or on crutches so I could leave school early.
Yeah,
Michelle was willing to pay a heavy price to leave school early.
No, I had my mom buy me crutches so I could crutch around the house for fun.
There you go.
Wow,
that's intense.
It is. I don't know even where to go with that. I hope you enjoyed it.
Had fun.
John Robinson might draft you.
Maybe so. I got a text that says the Titans are going to take Desmond Ridder in the first round and then either try to trade up for a second round pick or get another wide receiver in the second wave of free agency. It's coming from a texter on the text line. That'd be something. I mean, there's obviously with the Titans being at Cincinnati's Pro Day yesterday, specifically Mike Vrabel being at Cincinnati's Pro Day yesterday, there is talk now of could the Titans be interested in taking a quarterback, maybe Desmond Ridder, with their first pick overall.
I'm not throwing that in the trash heap.
No.
I'm really not. Look, it's a simple question. Do you think this can be your quarterback? Do you think this can be a great starting quarterback in the NFL, your quarterback, your face of the franchise? I mean, just because this particular person isn't projected in mock drafts to be a top five pick doesn't mean that the answer is necessarily no. And if you look at where this team is financially with A.J. Brown about to be paid a whole bunch of money and Jeffrey Simmons about to be paid a whole bunch of money, other guys on some big deals, you got Landry locked up, you got Dupree locked up. You know, if you could – you don't know how much longer you have with Derrick Henry. If you have a quarterback you feel like can come in and relatively quickly ascend to being an effective NFL starter, then you get out of Tannehill after this year. It would hurt some. It would hurt a lot less after this year. I mean, look, it's not the craziest thought. It just comes down to, do you love this quarterback?
Yeah, it comes down to that, and it also comes down to You know, how much do you love the quarterback that you're willing to probably sacrifice what could be a useful first-round pick for this year's team? Like, even if they drafted Desmond Ridder, I know the first time Ryan Tannehill throws an interception, the entire town's going to be like, take him out, put Ridder in there. I don't anticipate the Titans doing that this year. Like, if they drafted a quarterback, my guess would be that he's taking the Mahomes route and sitting down for a year and learning.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Tannehill becomes Alex Smith in Kansas City in the 2017 season. That's exactly what he is. Thank you for your service. Be a good mentor. Alex Smith led him to the playoffs. Couldn't beat Marcus Mariota in the playoffs, but, you know, he led him to the playoffs. Then he came up against Marcus Mariota, who beat him in the playoff game by making a lot of big plays, including throwing to himself. But, no, I mean, that's exactly the scenario it would be.
So, to me, it's do you love a quarterback? It's not just do you love a quarterback. Do you love a quarterback enough to basically sacrifice a first-round pick for this year, for this year's team?
If you love the quarterback, I think it's easy.
Yep.
But again, it has to be like, it can't be like, yeah, it'd be great to get a quarterback. This guy's pretty good. It has to be like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
If it's the guy, that's why your Packers did what they did.
That worked out well.
Yeah, well, it. I mean, it can be bad. But that's right. I mean, it's insane to me. Everybody thought it was at that moment. Like, what are you doing? But the answer for anybody who defended that pick, that was the answer was, well, they think he's quarterback of the future. And if they're right, then down the road, everybody's going to be like, okay, I get it. At this point, they're probably not going to be saying that.
Probably not. At least not with them. But we'll
not
see
with them.
I don't know. Like, I'm interested in what the reaction would be with Titans fans if they draft a quarterback. I mean, a lot of people obviously would be excited. But there is still this year's team. Like, you've got Robert Woods, you've got A.J. Brown, you've got Derrick Henry. Who knows how long Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry. If we learned anything last year, things can change pretty quickly at the running back position, which they did for the Titans last year. Like, I still feel like John Robinson believes that this is a team that can compete and can win in the AFC. Now, I know some Titans fans, especially with the moves that have taken place in the AFC this offseason, may not believe that anywhere near as strongly as people on the team do, but I feel like John Robinson believes this team can win. So if you're drafting a quarterback, I'd be interested to see what the reaction would be from the fans. And some of that would depend on who it is, obviously, but interested to see what that reaction would look like. That could be pretty split at first, and then I think a whole lot of people would be excited about a quarterback.
Yeah. It's interesting because the people are so down on Tannehill. I think they'd dance in the streets for baby hands if it happened, you know? but it is – I still think it's way more likely that they draft a player at some other position and try to be as good as they can possibly be on the field in 2022 and try to continue to do the be great around Tannehill thing. They've done some good stuff lately.
They have.
So – but that could also be great around Desmond Ridder when he takes over the job in week 7.
Could be. Seth on the text line says, I wouldn't read too much into Vrabel being at Cincinnati's pro day. I assume Vrabel was at UC because his best friend is a coach and a generally scout. He'd probably be there whether Ridder was a prospect or not. That's coming from Seth on the text line.
Yes, and we talked about all this yesterday. He's Luke Fickell's best friend. Cincinnati has a lot of – actually, they had 8 guys who went to the combine, so they have a lot of prospects. Also, Vrabel was at Ohio State Pro Day the day before, so it's a short drive over to Cincinnati. I mean, it's not. Now, they did have – they had him, and they had Pat O'Hara there. They had the QB coach there.
Pat O'Hara was at Kenny Pickett's as well.
So, which, again, makes sense.
I mean, he's a quarterback coach.
I mean, right. I mean, go look at the quarterbacks if you're the quarterback. But, I'm just saying they had 2 guys there. Not a lot of teams had 2 guys at Cincinnati Pro Day. But, yeah, I mean, all those factors make it easy to explain away the situation. I'd put it at, 90%. I feel good about 90% that the Titans are going to take with if they pick 26, that they're going to take a non-quarterback there.
I'd go higher than that.
You go higher than that?
Yeah. I'd go 95.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick at 90. I'm going to leave 10% open because it does – look, go back to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were very good, 2015, 2016. They were very good. I don't remember what the reaction was in Kansas City, but I imagine a lot of people were like, but we're so good. Alex Smith is good. How could you not get help for him or help on the defense? You went and drafted a quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that whoever they could draft would be Patrick Mahomes, but I'm just saying that it was forward thinking. It was a little bit contrary to the we're really good right now, and it worked out quite well for them.
Josh from Jackson texting in says, we're an elite corner away from having the best overall defense. I hear Josh. I doubt they take a corner with their first pick. You just took one last year. You got to see what he is. I would think.
Yeah. I mean, if you go, you know, if you go by your board, if you go by the board and that's your best player, you're purely going best available, I guess that's possible. That'd be interesting. But and you've got Molden and you've got Fulton, and you feel like those guys are going to be in place for years to come. If you spend a first-round pick after just doing that, what are you saying about Farley? Punting on that pick already?
Maybe just really stacking up that corner depth. I don't know.
Corner depth is good. Yeah. It's good to have.
Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Also get to another team in Tennessee that I'm interested to see how Nashville feels about them. We'll get to that coming up on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning. Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. We'll take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark from Ashland City texting in says, if whichever quarterback is the best player on your board, then you got to take him. I wouldn't be upset. I still trust John Robinson. This is coming from Mark from Ashland City on the text line.
It's actually kind of refreshing to hear that.
It is.
There's a lot of mistrust for someone with the record he has.
There is.
But last couple drafts, two drafts ago, not great. Last draft, a lot TBD, but – early returns, not great.
Still to be determined. Could be a
pretty good team.
Great years this year from Dylan Raditz and Caleb Farley.
Well, those are the top two individual questions. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, what about Robert? Well, I guess that's true. But Tannehill is going to play well this year.
Is he?
I think so. I think he'll probably be good. And then like, so the question for him is January. But for this team and trying to win the AFC South, I mean, those two second-year guys to me are the top two.
Yep. Indy Ben, our buddy texting in, says, with Desmond Ridder being the new flavor of the month among other quarterback-needy teams, he won't even be available come the Titans' first pick in the first round. Ridder looks to be among the top three quarterbacks drafted. I'm betting Titans go right tackle in round one. Is that wishful thinking from Indy Ben, or does he actually believe they're going right tackle?
See, I typically would agree with Indy Ben, and look, it may turn out that way. I always feel like quarterbacks, it just turns out, okay, they take a quarterback and they move up. Like Malik Willis is an example of a guy who people thought, mid, late, first round, and now it's like he might go number two, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. There's a lot of people who think Desmond Ridder is going to be there at the end of the first round and maybe even go in the second round. I mean, Pickett, I see him all over the place. You know, again, this is guessing. Now, some mock drafts are better than other mock drafts. Some mock drafts do involve some picking of brains, but most, you know, NFL people are there's a lot of misinformation, you know. Either lack of information or misinformation, as you would expect from teams on stuff like this, because this is so cutthroat and so cloak and dagger, and everybody's wondering what everybody else is going to do, so you can try to figure out what, you know. I mean, every draft night, every team at some point is like, oh, you know, they smash fists on a table because the guy they thought they were going to get just got taken two picks before them.
Like Justin Jefferson when he goes to the Minnesota Vikings. That was fun.
You think Gutekunst was mad?
I think he was.
Yeah. He should have been.
Of course, I mean,
should be mad at himself for a lot of things, but yeah.
Yes, he should. Joe, there's something I want to run by you because we've talked about this a little bit here on the show, and we're getting down to crunch time in the NBA season. The Memphis Grizzlies are a very, very good basketball team. They are number two in the West. They officially clinched a playoff berth last night, although that's been a formality at this point for a while. They are 51-23. They had a huge win the other night against Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Nets without Ja Morant, who will be out for the next 2 weeks, which is basically the rest of the regular season with knee soreness that he's dealing with. So I would assume he'll be fine come playoff time. They're the number two seed. They've got a chance to do some damage in the playoffs. My question to you is, how much do you think people in Nashville care about the Grizzlies now? And if they're able to go on a run, and let's say a run is at least getting to the Western Conference Final. I'm not saying they've got to go like the NBA Finals or anything, but good series in the second round, they get to the Western Conference Final. Do you think this city buys in? Do you think a bunch of Middle Tennessee sports fans buy into the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, first of all, how many people in Nashville have already adopted the Grizzlies as like their NBA team? You think it's a fair amount of people?
I think it's a fair amount.
Okay. I think one of the answers here is I want to know what the Preds do. Because sure. If the Preds are out, you know, then especially, you know how it is, like a lot of times if your team goes out, it's like Tennessee fans, I've heard a lot of, I can't even watch the rest of the tournament. You know, because the Vols are out, and I thought the Vols were going to make a run. So sometimes that happens. You know, your team is out early, or, hey, maybe the Preds don't make the playoffs. Whether they don't make it or they're out in the first round, then now you've got this void to fill. So I think then you'd have more interest in it. But I mean, to me, even if you're a fan of another team, and as we know, a lot of people live here who started somewhere else now. I'm looking at you, Michelle Perry. I'm basically a Nashville original. I've been here, you know, almost 7 years. So I was basically born and raised here now.
Nope, you're a Sparty fan, even though you refuse to believe it.
Oh, Sparty fan, yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Sure. But
Sparty Joe.
That's right.
Bandy Joe, Sparty Joe, Big Orange Joe.
I do have a friend who was Sparty, by the way.
Really?
And he works for the Associated Press now.
That's awesome.
He actually was Sparty in college, that sweaty ass costume. Yeah. But even if you are a fan of another team, then you've got to love Ja Morant, right?
Well, that's why I bring this up, because this is not like it's the first time the Grizzlies have been good. Like, you know, the grit and grind days, they were really good. And look, some people around here, I think, bought in come playoff time. They had a couple of good runs in the playoffs where you felt like they were dangerous. They had a chance to compete. And I think deep down you really knew, though, that they really didn't have a chance to win a championship. I don't know that this Grizzlies team is quite championship level yet, although they're pretty darn good. But to me, like, Ja Morant is the difference, right? Like, you're as good as those grit and grind teams were, and you had Conley and Zebo and, you know, Gasol, all these different guys, they didn't have anything close to Ja Morant. You know, Mike Conley was a really good player. He is not Ja Morant. So I wonder how much of a difference he by himself can make. If he's able to play the way he's played all year long, which is at an MVP caliber level, like if they go on a run here in the playoffs, could he himself make a difference here in this area? I think he will. I think he could.
Yeah, I feel like the Memphis Grizzlies could be – I mean, there's just some teams that – and largely because of one player. I mean, Steph Curry, right, with the Warriors. I think
you
caught a lot of – I mean, man, believe me, as a Bad Boys fan, like the entire state of Virginia, my whole high school is like Bulls fans because of Jordan, which was so annoying. But
– Joe loves Jordan.
Michael Jordan, you know. I'm not saying Ja Morant is Michael Jordan, but Ja Morant is the kind of player who can create a fan out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
In a team. So, it'll be interesting if they do. I think they, you know, clearly you have to get out of the first round, and then you're looking at, I think you're probably looking at Warriors, Grizzlies in a second round series.
Yep.
Could be home court for the Grizzlies. Although if Ja's going to be out now to the playoffs,
well, Steph's out too. So
that's true. Steph's out too. I think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what is it? A two and a half game lead at this point. Grizzlies have played one more game. So, but either way, regardless, that would be, I mean, that would be a huge series. That would be as anticipated and that would be the most talked about series in the entire league. I don't care what happens in the East. I'm talking about just the conference semis. Nothing in the East approaches that, you know. And if it's like Phoenix, Dallas, or Phoenix, Utah, I mean, no. Grizzlies, Warriors would be the headlining, might be the most anticipated series of the whole thing. So that, too, makes it so that you'd be, it'd be really hard to ignore that if you lived here.
Josh from Jackson texting in says, oh, man, y'all are getting into my neck of the woods. Go Grizz. They're the real deal. I will say I'm from Jackson, about 50 minutes away from Memphis, and the biggest team here is the Warriors by a long shot. But go Grizz, baby. This is coming from Josh from Jackson. Really?
There's more
big
Warriors
Golden State
fans
Warriors fan than
Grizzlies fans?
Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay, but NBA, I feel like people are just so unloyal because players just switch around so often. Like, honestly, whatever state you're in, unless you live in Chicago, of course you're a Bulls fan, but...
You shouldn't be. They suck, but yeah. No, they're okay. They're okay.
Put
now.
Some respect on DeMar DeRozan's name.
He's good. I want more Porth tweets. Is this the night the Bulls finally prove themselves? No.
No, it's not.
I'm going to tell you and Hub Arkish, no.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right, Michelle. I mean, there's some of that, but, oh my gosh, I would expect that over in West Tennessee that it would be pure excitement right now, right?
You'd think so. Mark from Clarksville says, being from Florida, I'm a Magic fan, but I do root for the Grizzlies. Ja is something special. I think come playoff time, especially the second round and on, you'll see a lot more Grizzlies fans around here.
I mean, the Bucks haven't had a fan since Jack Sikma was shooting three for them. You know, Frank Brakowski and, Terry Cummings. You know, I mean, how many people fear the deer now just because of Giannis? Now, I know they won a title, so that also takes it to a totally different level.
Sure.
But, yeah, Ja's got to be one of those guys who, I mean, there's got to be, like, Ja jerseys bought randomly in, like, Connecticut and Montana and, you know, New Mexico.
Give me, like, a throwback-style Vancouver Grizzlies Ja Morant jersey. I'll wear it tomorrow.
I would almost violate the very important sports rule of not wearing a jersey of someone younger than
you.
If that would be pretty
I've
cool.
never heard that rule.
Yeah, it's a very important rule.
It is, you gotta follow
like
that rule.
I want a Tigers jersey with, you know, some of my 80s heroes on them, but I would not wear like a freaking Verlander jersey now.
What about a Stafford one? A Stafford Lions jersey?
No.
You the same?
We have one in my house.
You the same or a little bit younger than Babe Ruth?
Yeah, you know, I think I don't
that was
know.
A low blow. I'm sorry.
I got a nickel beer that day when he called his shot at Wrigley.
Thank you. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. Speaking of Call Your Shots, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Okay, let's see. I'm thinking not well, but we'll find out. Okay, me. Vols are going to win it all.
Oops.
Yeah. Auburn, you get that ready for your call shot, too, there. Yeah. Auburn loses to Jacksonville State. Got that wrong, too. They did lose next round.
They did.
Montana State beats Texas Tech.
Oops.
Didn't get that one right either. Now, this one, and by the way, this is the only thing that you missed in weekend winners, by the way. I had UT Chattanooga beats Illinois, and my goodness, should they have beaten Illinois.
I know.
Oh, should they have beaten Illinois. Whew. Great game. But, yeah, 0-4. Robbie, Tennessee and Michigan goes to overtime. That did not happen. 10 or more combined goals in Preds Leafs.
There's 9.
Close. Bama will lose to Notre Dame. Boom. You got that one right. Michelle, Oscar T. will stay at Kentucky. We will see. Jackson State beats Auburn. Like me, no. Fullerton beats Duke. No. But you did get that with the points in your weekend winners. You needed it, too.
Oh, yeah, bye now.
Juju Smith-Schuster signs with the Titans. No, he's doing terrible TikTok dances for the Chiefs already.
I never hated football team more than I do right now with Kansas City. The combination of Mahomes' brother and now Juju is over there doing his TikToks too. I can't do it.
Get Brian Kelly
out
there.
I hope they lose every game.
And also, Vols win it all. You, oh, like me. Yes, there you go. So, Robbie got one. There we go.
With that in mind, Michelle, would you like to kick us off in today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to. And since my bracket has completely gone to just fire, it's just completely awful. I had Rutgers going to like the Final Four. Yep. Nope. Didn't even make it in. We're going to make some Final Four picks for my Call Your Shot. My Call Your Shot is that it'll be UNC and Duke. They'll rematch. And Houston, Miami. And then okay. Duke wins it all, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay, UNC, Duke, Houston, Miami in your Final Four.
And Duke wins it. And I really hate to say that, but that's my called shot.
Okay.
St. Peter's upsets Purdue.
Woo!
And our guy, Doug, Mr. Mustache, 25 points.
He's going to need at least that many.
At least. And out of the West, I'm picking the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay. Mm.
And finally, last called shot. This is a shout out to my sister. She has her dressage state championships tonight. I call that she wins, and I hope that she wins.
Nice. I like that.
Shout out Isabella. I hope they're listening in the car right now.
Go Isabella.
We will all add Isabella to our called shots.
There
you
go.
She will win.
Dressage is sweet.
You've written about
I
it love before.
I have. But I'm a dressage reporter. That's right.
You are. Joe Rexrod, your called shots of the week.
Okay. The Lady Vols will make the Final Four in 2023.
Okay.
Nice. That's still a shot.
It is.
They just added Rekia Jackson, top scorer in the SEC for Mississippi State, which I'm sure if you're a Mississippi State hoops fan, you're just like, wow, our best player is just going to play next year at Tennessee.
Yeah,
but like, this is what happens. I mean, look at Cal. Like, hey, Wheeler, yeah, come on over here, buddy. Yeah. You know.
Hey, you tried to get Oscar Tshiebwe. Sorry it didn't happen for you, Vols. You're a Vols fan.
GB
yes,
Joe?
You.
Yeah, okay.
Sparty
you
and
keep
Vols.
Telling. I know. I'm a fan of everything, apparently. Also, Rekia Jackson, they got Jazzy Powell from Minnesota, point guard, who is a tremendous player. And then Justine Passat, a McDonald's All-American coming in, who is a hell of a shooter, just an all-around big athletic player, along with Jordan Horison, along with Tamar Key, along with a lot of other good role players and like these freshmen they have. I mean, they could be unbelievable next year. So that's my shot right now. Final Four 2023 for Kelly Harper in her fourth year. This team will lose by double figure Saturday to Louisville in the Sweet 16. It's just without Horston, they don't have it. Okay, my Final Four, also going UNC, also going Duke. As much as I'd like to
love for the Hogs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Hogs are going to give them a run. Also going Houston. And then I'm going to go Purdue.
You got Houston winning the whole thing now, don't you?
And Houston winning the whole freaking
thing.
Yeah,
you
thing.
Do. There we go. I like
it. Who do you have playing
so
them?
That's two shots. Well, now I need to look at the bracket.
Either Duke or UNC. Wait.
Wait, what? You're saying in the title game.
Yes.
Yeah, because Duke and UNC would be lined up to play. Yes. I got Houston beating Duke in the title game, and which, of course, you know, would be actually, I think, kind of sweet because – you know, Kelvin Sampson not long ago was considered like as, you know, I mean, what he did at Indiana, I mean, it was pretty bad. There's some stuff that now I think people look at differently, but you're talking about basically, yeah, no one needs to go to class. I mean, it was bad. And he was
that learning stuff.
Yeah, he was sort of, I mean, when he was at Oklahoma, he had like a 0% graduation rate. Like,
hey.
Kelvin Sampson, you know, sort of had that rep, and he has come back. And he's a tremendous basketball coach, and I think there would be something interesting about Kelvin Sampson taking out K in the title game. So I'm here for it, and that's what I'm picking. And I think Houston is the best team.
There you go.
So those are my call shots.
I like it. All right, I'll quickly go through mine. Let me begin on this. The Hogs will be called against Duke. Arkansas will win.
Woo!
Arkansas will win against Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils. Call the Hogs. Woo pick Suey, the whole nine yards. It's happening. That's my first called shot.
Musselman's going to take everything off of this.
Yeah, like he might need to just.
I really wish he had the sling still.
Yeah.
Because the shirt off with the sling and him just running and flexing is gold.
Yeah.
The only fans post-game celebration.
Second called shot. Preds win 5-1 against Philly. They bounce back. 5-1 win against Philly. By the way, Philly won 5-2 last night against St. Louis. 5-1 win against Philly. 4 points for Roman Josi. 4 points for Josi coming up on Sunday. And finally, the Miami Heat win by 15 or more tonight against the New York Knicks.
Mm.
They almost killed each other in the huddle the other day. Usually that can go one of two ways. I think this team responds. I think they play much better. They're at home. They're favored by 6. They win by 15 or more against the New York Knicks.
So I'm assuming Udonis Haslem will not beat Jimmy Butler's ass.
Yes, Udonis Haslem.
He'll let him play.
Not going to kill Jimmy Butler. Okay. That's also included in the called shots. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, called my shot. Hogs to the Final Four. Coach K is done. A lot of love for the Hogs on the text line. No question about it. A lot of love.
I mean, it'd be amazing to see.
Woo pig suey.
Yeah. I got a texture that says Matt Duchene hat trick on Sunday to pass up Philip Forsberg for the goal lead for the Predators.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
Michael in Madison says the Final Four matchup in the NBA playoffs is going to be the Celtics and Bucks. That's a called shot. And then the Grizzlies and the Suns, with the Grizzlies beating the Bucks in 7 games to win their first ever NBA title. So the Grizz, NBA champions this year, from Michael in Madison.
Woo. That's a shot.
I like it. William from Madison texting in says, Vanderbilt will sweep South Carolina and Tennessee will take 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss, setting up next weekend's big series. We're looking forward to that.
Yes, big one. Vols coming in here next weekend. Top 5 matchup.
I may have to get over there for a couple of those.
Yeah.
Nate texting in says, Duke winning it all isn't a shot because we know the tournament this year is rigged. So I guess that's his shot. Duke's going to win it all.
No, Nate. Nate also said I was crazy for Uber Eats and coffee for $11.
That was an expensive coffee. But hey, sometimes you just need it.
No, gotta do what you gotta do.
That was worth $40.
Caleb texting in says Philip Forsberg will get 45 or more goals, but the Preds will miss the playoffs. 45 or more for Forsberg, but they miss the playoffs.
Now that's a shot.
That'd be something.
That's a shot.
Now he's already at 36, so he only needs 9 more.
If he has 9 goals in the last 16 games, 17 games?
I have to go look. I can't remember where they're at. And the NHL hasn't updated their stat page today.
But if he has 9 goals the rest of the way, they going to miss the playoffs?
They might.
I mean, it's possible.
Chris texting in says, what's the record for longest duration of called shot? The 2023 Women's Final Four? Come on, Joe. GB
hey,
Joe.
We do. I thought it was timely.
2028 in the Summer Olympics.
Well, it was timely because Rekia Jackson committed yesterday. And yes. Immediately I was like, dude, they're going to be ridiculous next year. So that's why I called it. By the way, the Magic Man on Twitter says, anything that has a 50% chance of happening, Robbie's Arkansas pick, is a bogus, all caps, called shot. Not a shot. Lame.
So would you put Arkansas, who is not favored in the game, at 50%? It's not 50%, buddy.
Back at you, the Magic Man.
When Tennessee football plays against UT Chattanooga, technically there are 2 games. It's also not 50% chance of somebody winning.
I would not compare
It's not just, it's 50-50 every time that 2 teams play.
It's not a great shot, but yeah, I mean, it's an upset pick, so I think it qualifies.
Y'all have got Duke winning the whole thing, or at least the text line does. You've got Houston.
I do. I have Duke winning it all.
Yeah. I think calling Houston to win the whole thing is a shot at this point.
I agree.
Although there's probably – I mean, if anybody's been watching them, it's probably – it maybe isn't that
fine.
Much of a
St.
shot.
Peter's wins it all. There we go.
All right.
Add it.
Down.
Mark it.
Magic Man, does that count as a shot? I think it does.
Yeah. Matt from Camden texting in says the Grizzlies make the NBA Finals. Lots of love for the Grizz today.
I consider that a shot too. As much as I like the Grizzlies, they're a really good team. And John Morant's incredible. That's, to me, still – that's a shot because I don't think that they're quite ready for that.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll look ahead to the draft, get his thoughts on even more movement in the AFC as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.